Gary K's Almost Daily Rants and Raves.
The Week.
The Women in AV Wavecast.
Green AV.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the December edition of Rave Radio's Green AV Podcast. My name is Midori Connolly, and I am your friendly, happy Chief AV girl, and I am your host for the day. So today with me, I have another super exciting special treat, two of some of my favorite people out there in this world and in our industry. I have Scott Walker, who is president and CEO of Waveguide Consulting, and he's also part of the STEP Foundation board. And I also have Gary Hall, who is chief architect for Federal Intel Operations for Cisco. He's also the chair of PETC at Infocom and an incoming board member for Infocom International. So hello, gentlemen. Thank you for being here with me today.
Hello, Midori.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you. So these two guys have a lot of involvement with the Green AV movement. I think Scott pulled me in ages ago when I was kind of a brand new pup in the industry, but was making a lot of noise about Green AV, and sort of pulled me into the initial Green AV Summit task force that Infocom had organized. And so kind of have a history. We have a lot of fun with these guys, but I'm going to let them each take a turn and tell us a little bit more about their involvement with Green AV, kind of background, history, what motivated them, when did they kind of jump into the sustainability movement, and there's a lot of good, interesting information here. So Scott, let's start with you.
Well, the seeds for my sustainability initiatives were planted back in the 70s. I'm the youngest of five kids, and my parents were, both high school graduates, didn't get a chance to go to college yet. They were putting, five kids through private school and college. So money was the kind of thing you didn't waste. So my initial foray was getting paid $1 a week by my dad to switch off lights in our house during the energy crisis in the 70s. And that kind of planted the little engineer seed in my brain about why do these things not switch off automatically when no one's in the room. But that seed lay pretty dormant for probably 30 some odd years. And in the early 2000s, I began to work on a lot of LEED projects, and more as a defensive than offensive posture, I began to see that because there was no one like us at the table when LEED was created, as the technology consultant on the project, I went from being one day the coolest guy in the room to the next day being the guy they didn't even invite to the meetings because we had nothing to do with sustainability, and a lot of the team meetings were about sustainability. So I still hadn't really switched on yet. I just thought, this LEED thing is kind of curious. And really what did it for me was in 2006 reading William McDonough's book, Cradle to Cradle, and then Inconvenient Truth comes out around that time, and that really started a big discussion nationally, certainly and internationally as well, about sustainability. And that's kind of when I clicked and went, hey, all these projects are pursuing, this LEED rating system. There's some real ideas here we could apply from our industry, and now this is a conversation that's happening at, Walmart and McDonald's and everywhere in between. So it's time we find our seat at that table.
Yeah, for me, it was kind of a similar story to Scott. It started really early in childhood with just recognizing that we could do things better and more efficiently. The way my brain works is to find the best ways to do things and go get them done. And sustainability, in that instance, is kind of a no-brainer, right? So from childhood, kind of moving forward into a big crystallizing event for me was Earth Day 1990. I live in the Washington, D.C. area, and I went down and actually participated in that gathering, and it was really exciting and eye-opening to see that there were people that were really focused on the environmental movement at the time, and that became the foundation for a lot of my college idealism and my save the world mentality and those types of things that I kind of carried forward, and then went into a professional life in the intelligence community and Department of Defense areas that a lot of people would think, hey, that's really far away from those roots in environmentalism and idealism that you had, but I just don't see it that way. I see sustainability as a business reality and an imperative for effective management of resources. Certainly, there's a social consciousness element to it, but that can be coupled well with a sense of how to best manage your infrastructure, your systems, whether those are audiovisual, IT, building systems, etc. It's really both. So it's fairly simple to be interested in sustainability and technology and to reconcile those business needs and those social drivers.
Very cool. I think, it's kind of interesting listening to your both of you say that, this is something sort of that comes from a place less about some type of political activism or, real like earth-saving kind of mentality as children or, growing up. And Rain and Kent, actually, who I interviewed last month, have the same exact sentiment, which is, they'll come from a place more about conservation and doing more with less rather than being real like a true environmentalist approach, which is probably why it's equated very well to our business lives. So I think that that's a very key point to kind of focus on for people who are listening, which is, well, great, it's good for the planet, but I think we've all kind of figured out that it's good for business too. Which actually, so speaking of business and sort of the topic why we have jumped on this call today and what I really want to focus on is the two of you and your exciting adventure that you had this last year in Washington, D.C. And of course, Gary, you're there every day, but just to tell us a little bit about what happened, how you made it to Capitol Hill, why you were there, what the experience was like. So if one of you want to run with that, we'd like to hear a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I'll start.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll start with the background. Midori, as you know, and some of your listeners probably know, we created the STEP rating system within Infocom, and it was sort of the follow-on to the Green AV group that you were on with me. And then when we looked at creating a rating system, we decided to first tackle the built environment while you and others were working on the live event stuff in other collaborative environments. So Gary was a part of the Green AV Task Force, AV Sustainability Rating System Task Force that became STEP. But we always knew STEP needed to be bigger than just Green AV. It wasn't going to be able to change the world or, get legislation passed. It's just an AV thing. So when we set out to create STEP, we looked for partners in like-minded associations. So BICSI was an obvious partner. We had worked with BICSI for 2+ years on trying to get USGBC to see that the AV and IT industries should be a part of the lead rating system.
And Scott, just for people who might be listening that aren't familiar with BICSI, what is BICSI, just so?
So the acronym always eludes me, but it's basically the Structured Cabling Trade Association, the information transport folks that do the RCDD certification of professionals to do cable plant design.
Thank you.
So the IT backbone folks in the buildings we all live and work and play in. TIA, Telecommunication Industry Association, was another member that joined, and then CompTIA. So TIA is much more of a standard setting body, creating lots of ANSI standards for telecommunications. CompTIA is a very large training entity for IT certification and training. So those were the original four sustaining members of STEP. TIA is very involved on Capitol Hill and you know, regularly presents to various caucuses and committees on Capitol Hill. So through them, we got invited to present STEP to this House Caucus on High Performance Buildings. And that wouldn't have happened if this was just Infocom and just a Green AV thing. So this is where having partners who have friends is a good thing. And I wasn't exactly directly involved in the planning of this, but I think the intent, Gary, you can pick up here, was, you know, we wanted to have a manufacturer like Cisco talk about their green technology initiatives. Alan Weidman, who is the executive director of the STEP Foundation, spoke about STEP and did an overview. And Grant Seifert from TIA talked about TIA's initiatives. And then I was there for some Q&A and background stuff when some of the caucus aides began to ask questions.
Yeah, that's a great setup, Scott. And my involvement did come from the TIA side. Herb Congdon, a vice president over at TIA, reached out to me knowing that I had participated from the Infocom side in the development of the STEP program and the creation of the STEP Foundation, and asked me to participate as an industry member of TIA in the High Performance Building Congressional Caucus Coalition event that surrounded that week. And so the opportunity there was really interesting for me, because it took the background elements of what we had done with Infocom and transition them over to TIA. As Scott mentioned, TIA has a large presence on Capitol Hill and does a lot of work in helping to shape legislation. But it also opened up our audience not just to the federal government legislators, but also several other interested parties, like the American Society of Heating, Refrigeration, and Air Conditioning Engineers, or ASHRAE, who participated in the event as well. So it gave us a great opportunity to expand the focus of STEP, both from a legislative point of view, to get some visibility around what this type of rating system can do to increase efficiency in federal buildings moving forward, and also to get the word out to other related trades who may have an interest in participating in the STEP Foundation. So from my perspective, it was a great event to show some thought leadership that was born in the AV community and kind of nurtured and raised through a foundation that has participation from a wide range of building technologies interested parties. So it was an excellent event and a stage setter for us to start working towards legislation, not only to make our buildings greener, but to make the technology inside of those buildings much more efficient.
Very cool. So it was twofold then. It wasn't just, you know, pushing forward our ideas and agenda, but it was also getting some exposure out there within other industries and kind of helping us to get noticed, it sounds like. And I'm sure, I mean, was it exciting? Was it intimidating? How are you feeling? Like, I mean,
I didn't have to present, so it was easy for me. Gary actually had to go tap dance, so
yeah, I was it was interesting. You know, I always like stretch exercises. You know, when I get an opportunity to present on a topic that may be outside of my core focus area in the United States intelligence community, I jump at it. You know, last week I was presenting at the National eHealth Collaborative talking about HIPAA legislation and that type of stuff. For this event, I had to really focus on the legislative side rather than the executive branch, where most of my work's been done. Very close synergies there, but a different approach and a different audience when you look at things from the legislative perspective. So from my point of view, it was a great opportunity to take things that I care deeply about around sustainabilities and technologies and to frame them in a different context, and to look through a different filter at another aspect of the work that needs to be done. So from a preparation standpoint, I had to do a lot of research. I had to learn a lot about the facts on building estimates and accounting for greenhouse gas emissions, and knowing some of this statistics that would really compel a legislative audience to take action, right, about the electrical consumptions that building technologies take, the CO2 emission outputs of federal spaces, and knowing that federal buildings lead the way for others to follow, but also that the U.S. government is the largest facilities owner in the country, so they certainly are a great one to start with. And if we can get them to take notice and to start building in legislation, it's only going to have a ripple effect. So for me, it was a great learning exercise and a lot of new information and new perspectives.
Midori, maybe to your point there, it was like an out-of-body experience for me. I mean, I'm a super political junkie. I'm part of that 001% of the population that actually watches C-SPAN, and I've seen, plenty of hearings in the Rayburn Building, so just kind of walking around going, oh, hey, we're presenting in the Rayburn Building today was really cool.
Oh, very cool. Did you actually, I wonder if you appeared on C-SPAN?
I don't think there are any live cameras there. I had my family members, surfing C-SPAN to let me know if somehow, a cool camera was going to end up pointed our way or something.
I do believe that TIA and ASHRAE did a recording for archival purposes. That may be available out there. But I'll add to Scott's comments. It was neat to go into a different aspect of government and to go into those facilities. And the main takeaway I have is that they have better breakfasts than most of the intelligence community meetings I've been in. Nice plated breakfast. It was pretty good.
Very nice. I think it's important to note this because here you are, two guys, right? You're my buddies. I know you. But, it's important to remember that, Scott, a handful of years ago, there was just a few of us out there talking about this. And then, within a matter of years, you're up presenting in front of the United States government. I mean, I think it's important to keep that motivation factor going that, it's so cliche and so cheesy, but really, one person can do this, right? One person...
Yeah.
Can make some noise and make a difference, and we don't have to wait for permission to do that. It's better just to kind of barrel ahead with and follow that what seems to make sense. But that's good. Thanks for sharing a personal story. And Gary, I think that you really tapped on something that I believe is key for us as an industry to keep in mind, that when we get the attention of the government within its own operations and practices, so it's not just, hey, can we pass legislation, but it's what are the internal policies of the government, that then kind of branches out into new laws, corporate America. I know for a fact, and I kind of forgot, one of the reasons why we were able to achieve the new ASTM standards for audiovisual staging and production and actually sustainable meetings in general is because of the US EPA wanting to be able to purchase green meeting services, and of course they needed those standards. So, this was just for their own internal purposes. The US EPA said, hey, we want to have green procurement. We can't do it without standards. So that's how, 3 or 4 years later, we ended up with a set of international standards. So I think that's a really good point to keep in mind, that kind of infiltrate that way?
Yeah, so, Midori, just to kind of piggyback a little bit on what Gary was saying about the GSA, they're the biggest building owner of square footage in the country. I can't remember how many millions and millions of square feet they have, but it's enormous. So they have a policy, and it's, I think, under review right now of requiring LEED Silver, and I think they've bumped it up to LEED Gold for all of their new constructions or major renovations. And, so we're kind of there saying, hey, there's this other thing that takes care of all the technology in your building that LEED doesn't really pay attention to. Ironically, funny little story, and I have the photos I can send you if you want to post it alongside this, but the AV system in the room we were presenting in was the absolute worst case example of non-sustainable AV you've ever seen in your life. Full height rack that was, burning I don't know how many watts at 5 in the morning when Gary got there, and cables strung everywhere, a bunch of antiquated gear that didn't need to be on, much less in the rack at all. And it was a perfect example of, you know, this building's full of these ancient systems, and you could probably do all this with, you know, one product and have it be, you know, go to sleep mode and not consume any energy at 3 in the morning on Christmas Eve. So it was a great irony, and I think Gary pointed it out even at the beginning of his talk.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Scott, because it gave me a foundation. You know, I always like to try and relate what I'm talking about to the environment and the situation that I'm in, and that gave me a lot of material, right? So I was able to point at the inefficiencies and point at the racks and use those as visual aids to enhance, you know, the message that we were trying to get across. And, you know, I think it was very compelling for that audience. It really brought it home because these are not AV people. But when you point out to them, hey, look at all that stuff that's just spinning over there. Look at all that energy that's being wasted. Look at the inefficiencies in space management and other things that you have by, you know, not paying attention to these factors. And so I think it really helped to enhance our messaging. Midori, to your point about standards, I think that was very well taken, and your example about green meetings was a good one. I would submit to anyone out there listening to this that this is how we develop our industry, right? That we do these types of activities. You know, Infocom's done a great job of developing performance standards and creating a steering committee around performance standards, creating certification standards, you know, programs like CTS, CTSD, CTSI. Those are huge differentiators that help to develop and grow the industry. And as we see entities like government agencies and Fortune 500 companies and educational institutions starting to look for those types of certifications, and look for those types of professionals that have those certifications, it's going to help our industry to grow and to be more and more meaningful as we move into this pervasive technology collaborative environment that we're headed into.
Very cool. I love the story about pointing out, you know, the inefficiencies and having something solid to look at. That's fantastic. So what I'm really curious about now is, what was the response? I mean, how was this received? Did you, you know, were you peppered with a ton of questions, or was it kind of like, huh, yeah. Curious?
Yeah, so I think in some respect we were all chuckling that we were a little bit babes in the woods, or at least I'll say that, you know, for my own sake, I think we were. As soon as we got done presenting, Mae Stevens, who was the legislative assistant for the Democratic co-chair of the caucus, said, so what's your ask? What do you have legislation you want us to put forward? And, you know, we were like, oh, we get to have an ask? We get to, like, help you shape a bill? And, you know, we asked it all smart-like, but, you know, I was thinking, oh, we forgot. They pass bills around here. We should think about that next time. So I immediately jumped up and I said, hey, right now, you and GSA say all your buildings need to be LEED Gold. How about LEED Gold, comma, step bronze or higher? That would be the ask. And she said, okay, well, you know, you guys need to come back when you're prepared to put that in the shape of a bill and we'll take a look at it. So, I, you know, being on the STEP Foundation board, and I have a board meeting, you know, next week, you know, the issue is, how do we go back into that room, you know, next year and say, okay, we're ready now. We're ready for the deluge to happen. And we have to, you know, get through a lot of things on the STEP Foundation board, but that's the real deal. And just to share another anecdote, and I won't give this CEO's name, but a prominent CEO in our industry, when I got on this sort of green tip years ago, said, yeah, I'll pay attention when there's legislation that forces me to pay attention. Until then, this is just all, you know, polar bears and garter snails. And I think to some people it's kind of like that. It's not, doesn't matter to them until they're kind of forced to do it by the federal government. And so while I like for people to come to this issue because of many reasons that it makes sense, as Gary talked about earlier, I do think the biggest way they'll come is through eventual legislation that requires us to do smart things with our buildings, and I think that's coming our way. If you look at the International Green Construction Code, these things are coming our way, so we can either be caught flat-footed, or we can say, oh, we have an answer to that. It's called STEP. We're ready to go. And that's the posture I've certainly wanted to take the past few years.
Mm. That's, you know, I point to this all the time that, you know, if we have an idea that legislation is coming in our businesses and we're not prepared, you know, it's like it's going to take you years to catch up. So why not get ahead? And when the legislation hits, you already have programs in place. You are ready to corner the market, you know, run full steam ahead rather than, oh my gosh, how are we going to do this? You know, that's just good business sense, isn't it? And, I think we've been able to prove within our business scope that there are opportunities out there, whether there's legislation or not. And you mentioned that earlier. Mm-hmm. So my next question then is really for either of you, which is, okay, so they want you to come back and tell them what to do. What does that look like? I mean, that's pretty daunting. As you said, you have a board meeting coming up. Is this going to be the major, like, focus for STEP, or what's happening next?
Well, we have a lot of work to do in STEP. We're not quite ready for, you know, 1,000 projects to suddenly want to be registered. We have a lot of tools to set up. Gary serves on the technology task force or technical task force that is refining and integrating new credits into the rating system that BCSI is bringing to light. And so there's still a lot of groundwork, and I know there are folks in the industry that are probably impatient. Heck, I'm impatient, but it just takes time to pull trade associations together, to pull this rating system together, to pull the database tools, the web tools together to make a real full court attack on this. And I think that's where the real work is. And we'll go back to this caucus when we're ready to handle the influx of projects that would hit when this happens. I mean, there's training and certification that needs to happen. Who are the people that certify buildings, and who are the people that create the curriculum for professional accreditation? There's just so much work to do to create the whole ecosystem, if you will, for sustainable technology in the built environment. And that's really where the work is right now.
Got it.
Yeah, I'll echo that and say, you know, this was an opportunity for us to build mindshare, right, to get the word out on the types of things that we were working on and to get some feedback as well. And I think, you know, both of those objectives were accomplished in this event and many other events that we've had. So the work is being done. The work is, you know, kind of making the sausage right now. We're grinding through the process of creating a very robust certification system that will stand up to scrutiny, and that's not an easy process. So we have to temper our needs to evolve the industry and to push forward and to take the next step, if you'll pardon the pun, with the needs to do it in a very methodology-rich way that allows us to make sure we have checks and balances through the process, that we're going back and reviewing our work and correcting for errors, so that when this does get ramped up, that it can scale to the level that we expect it to scale to in so many different associated industries. So it's a big undertaking. It's a lot of process to get through. The STEP Foundation and the board and the technical committees and all of the folks that are contributing to these efforts are working very quickly, actually, if you look at the timelines that we've been working under and how far we've come. So there's a lot more happening. And I think as we evolve this, that we're going to have something very compelling to take back, whether it's for an update or for, you know, starting to draft proposed legislation as we move forward into this type of event next May.
Very cool. It's just like building a business, right? I mean, you've got to be able to make sure you can handle capacity. So it makes perfect sense, as you said, you know, to be able to scale it up and make sure you're able to accommodate, because there's going to be demand, right? It sounds like there's going to be major demand. So being able to accommodate that. This was probably much longer than I normally would record, but what a great conversation. So I'm going to sort of wrap it up, especially with Gary Hall closing us out on mind share and grinding sausage. he's always got the funny terms to drop, you know, That's a Gary Hall thing, if you know him. if there's, do you have anything else to add? Do you have any other thoughts that you feel compelled to share?
Well, Midori, just as a parting thought on my point is, I think you can either be legislated upon or you can have an answer when the legislation comes. And I think it's important for our industry to sort of be self-regulated, because if people from the outside came in and just started, you know, regulating how many watts a projector can consume or various things, then things could go awry and performance could be compromised. And you know, green AV should not be bad AV. It should be excellent AV that happens to be sustainable. And I think it's important for people to say, let's get ahead of the curve before we find ourselves, like you said, playing catch up for 3 years wishing we had an answer. So to me, that's what STEP is all about. It's let's create our own answer before somebody creates it for us.
I love it. And it should be called clean AV, not green AV. Sorry, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, that's a good one. We could work with that. All I'd say is to start planning now how you're going to incorporate sustainability into your business plans, both from an internal perspective and if you're a service provider or an integrator or, you know, in a service providing role in any way, how you provide that type of value to your customers by being smart on sustainability and smart on AV together. I'd encourage anyone listening to go to thestepfoundation.org, spelled like it sounds, and to learn more.
Perfect. Thank you for the call to action. I think I'll probably have Alan on in the future, executive director. He'd be great to have a conversation with, I think, more about STEP in detail. But you guys, I really, really appreciate your time. Thanks for being here today, and everybody else, of course, I will be back next month, and I will be kicking off the 2013 Midori Challenge, where every month I'll be giving you one new green thing that you can do in your business practices, and we'll see who can get through the year with me and fill all 12 of them, and there may even be a special little Midori prize for you. And if you know anything about me, Midori means green, so that would be like a fun little green thing. Anyways, we'll have some fun with it. Thank you guys again, and I really appreciate your time. Everybody else, we will talk to you next month.
Thanks, Midori. Happy holidays.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.